not actually doing that much of BCA. I'm actually studying full-time at Moore Theological College. I'm in my fourth year there, but on the weekend I get the work for Bush Church Aid, and I get to visit different churches around the wider Sydney region and promote the work that God is doing in regional, rural and remote Australia.
Great. Well, we look forward to hearing from you.
It's great to be here this morning. So I won't spend too much time talking about Bush Church Aid because I believe you had a visit from my colleague Paul Sampson earlier in the year. But for those of you who weren't here or have forgotten about that, we are an organisation that exists to support gospel ministry in churches across the rural, regional and remote parts of Australia. Because outside of the greater urban areas, there's about 7 million Australians scattered around, some in very isolated and very small communities. And we believe that everyone, no matter where they are, should be able to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. So you can see there some of the places that we've been supporting field staff over the past 100 years. And on the next slide, you'll see the places where we currently have staff on the ground going the distance for Jesus Christ. There's some of our staff in New South Wales and the ACT region. And I want to encourage you that if you'd like to know anything more about Bush Church Aid, please come chat to me after the service. I've got plenty of information I can give you. I can give you connections to our prayer notes, to our Real Australian magazine, and a number of things that can help you partner with what God is doing in the bush. But the main reason that I'm here this morning is to bring us God's word for today, or more accurately, to talk about God's word, because of course it's his word that he has given us, not something that we have brought. But before I begin, how about I pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God who gives us his word. We thank you that you are the God who speaks to us, that you have not left us to wander around in the darkness to try and figure out life's biggest questions on our own, but you have given us your word as a light shining in the darkness. Your word about your Son, Jesus Christ, the only word who was with you in the beginning and through whom we might know you. So we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will help us to understand Psalm 95 this morning, that you will speak to us, change us, convict us as needs be, that we might better live to the glory of your Son by the power of the Spirit for your name's sake. Amen. Now, you don't need to go very far nowadays to be advertised at. We're bombarded with messaging constantly in the radio, television, online, on social media, even walking down the street. There are signs, there are advertisements. Now, it's probably not as bad here as Menangle as it is up in Newtown, where I spent most of my weekdays, but it can really be overwhelming sometimes how many things are just screaming out for our attention. Look at me, pay attention to this. You need this, this, this. This will satisfy you. You don't even have to leave the house to be exposed to all this messaging from the media, the government, entertainment, society. Everyone's got a message that they want you to pay attention to. And as well as that, there are all the other things that aren't really advertised, but they're calling for our attention as well. You know, we've got our family's needs and relational needs and health needs and just the things that need to get done around the house. There's just so much trying to grab our focus. But as Christians, we know that what should be our first point of focus is God and the word he speaks to us. Of course, we know that, but it's often easier said than done when all these other things are clamoring for our attention. And see, God knows that his people are easily distracted. He knows there's lots of things calling out to us. And that's why you see again and again in the scriptures, God reminding us of the same things. That he loves us, that he calls us to follow him, that he calls us back to him. He knows we're distracted, and he knows we need to be reminded again and again. He is at the center. And in Psalm 95 this morning, we have another reminder of this. It may feel that this is the sort of thing that you hear just about every week in church. In some sense, that's right, because we need to be reminded again and again and again to bring our hearts and our minds before God, our real and true focus. And back in the day when they first put together the prayer book, the compilers of the prayer book, they knew this too. They knew that we get distracted easily, which is why in the old morning prayer service, that out of all the assigned Bible passages, there was one psalm that was assigned every morning for every day. And that was Psalm 95. Now, why Psalm 95 out of the 150 psalms that could have been chosen? Well, it's because Psalm 95 summons us, calls us, pulls our attention back to our God. It's a call to all of God's people to praise, to worship, to hear and obey the voice of the Lord. Amid everything that cries out to us, amidst all this messaging, all these advertisements, Psalm 95 is what we really need to hear again and again. So the psalm is divided into three sections, and each one has its own call, its own summons and invitation to us. The first is from verses 1 to 5, and that's the call to praise. And the second is in verses 6 and 7, that's the call to worship. And the last call is in verses 8 through 11, to hear and to obey God's word. So let's jump into the psalm and consider what God is calling us to today. Verse 1, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Sing. Make a joyful noise. Come into his presence. Make a joyful noise with songs of praise. All these commands, they come together to tell us, praise the Lord. And do notice, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. This is a call to a congregation. This is a call for a people. Now, individuals should praise God, of course, but ought not God's people that he has gathered together praise him together? So let us sing, let us shout aloud, let us come before him. Before him. We don't just praise into the empty air with no kind of direction for our praise. No, our praise is before the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to Him. These acts of praise, these joyful noises, this singing, they're expressions not just of our general feeling on a given day. We might not very much feel like this in general at all. But they're expressions of how we should be feeling toward God. Praise that is overflowing from a thankful heart, extolling Him from within, and it's projected outward in sound. It's from our heart to God, God-focused and God-glorifying. At the end of the day, this praise isn't meant to reflect something about us at all. It's not actually about us, this praise. It's all about Him. The purpose of music and song that God has given us is to glorify Him. These are powerful modes of expression that overflow from the heart, powerful outlets of affection. It's a great God-given gift, and it's to be used to the praise of His name. And He commands us to. Come, let us sing to the Lord. It's not actually an optional extra. He's made us to sing to Him. Now you might say, well, I can't sing. I have no musical talent. And if you heard my voice, then you'd probably tell me that I should stop singing. Well, you're not singing because you sound good yourself. We sing because it's to the glory of God. God doesn't desire the quality of your voice. He desires its sincerity. God wants you to rejoice in Him, to sing for joy in Him, to praise the Lord. But why? Especially on those days when we're just not feeling it, you know, things just don't seem to be going all right. Why should we praise God? Why should we extol Him in song? Well, verse 3 and 4 and 5 remind us why. Verse 3, for the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. The Lord, Yahweh, is the great God, the great King above all gods. All the gods of this world are as nothing before Him. Dumb idols, powerless spirits. The Lord our God is King. King over all the earth, all powers, all principalities, everything that is and was and is yet to come. His is the rule, the reign, the kingdom and the power and the glory. In His hand are the depths and the heights, the sea and the land and all within them. The Lord, your Creator. The Lord, your King. Your God. Everything that we have, it's given from His hand. Every blessing of life we have received from Him. We need to remind ourselves of this. So let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him in songs of praise. Praise the Lord. Now on to verse 6. And the second thing Psalm 95 is calling us to. Verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Worship the Lord. But haven't we just heard that? Well, partially. Because you see, while worship isn't less than praise, it's actually a lot more than just praise. The worship here in verse 6, it's expressed as bowing down, as kneeling before the Lord. And why are we called to worship like that? Well, it's not because there's anything special about those movements in themselves. It's not as if God sees you kneeling and goes, "Oh, wow, that's impressive. Thank you for that." No, they mean something because they express something. Just like songs of praise express something. This bowing down and this kneeling, well, they're expressions of adoration, of reverence, humility, submission. It's a posture of a servant. Because to worship God is to serve God. And true service can't just be outward only. We serve God from the heart. Singing words that you don't mean, kneeling and bowing and making empty gestures, giving lip service for an hour a week in a church building while your mind is somewhere else, that's not worship. No, true spiritual worship in praise, in humility, in service, you can't limit it to one time and place during the week. It can't just be something you do outwardly. Christian worship, it's all of life worship. It's day by day worship. It's mind and body, heart and soul. We're to trust and obey and to praise and to serve the Lord day after day. Not just with our lips, but with our lives. In obedience to him. But why would I want to serve God? You might ask. Why bow down and kneel before him? We're reminded in verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. He's our God. He's your God. He's not against your best interests. He's not about making your life hard and imposing arbitrary rules. He's for you. He's for your best interests. Because we're his sheep. He is the good shepherd. His hand is the hand that cares for us, that provides for us, that defends us. And don't forget, our shepherd is the Lord of all. We can't lose by serving the Lord who has and is above everything. We only have everything to gain. Worship the Lord. Serve him. Live for him. Now, the third thing Psalm 95 has to tell us this morning. We find this third thing from the end of verse 7. And it's another call for us, but this one's a bit different because it's also a word of warning. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. Hear the voice of God. Heed what he has to say. When God led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, as this psalm references, they heard his voice again and again and again. They heard it very loudly and profoundly through the fire and smoke on Mount Sinai. And yet again and again and again, they hardened their hearts against him. We have two examples in the psalm of when the Israelites hardened their hearts. When they put God to the test by questioning what he had said to them. The first example is Meribah and Massah. Those are the places in the wilderness where the Israelites grumbled against God for lack of water. He's led us out into the desert to die. We'll be better off as slaves in Egypt. They didn't believe that the Lord would provide for them as he had said he would. They put the Lord's word to the test. And the second example led to the oath at the very end of our psalm, "They shall not enter my rest." Because when God led the Israelites, as he had promised, to the edge of the promised land, "Go in, take this land as a possession for you and your descendants forever," they refused to go in. They refused to believe that the Lord would fight for them. They were scared of the people who were there. They believed that they would be destroyed. They wouldn't believe God's promise, despite having seen and having heard everything that he had done and promised to them. They hardened their hearts against the promise. And so it's no wonder then that that promise wasn't for them. Verse 10, "For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." 40 years in the wilderness till all that generation was gone and given to one that would believe his promises. Friends, God still speaks today, just as he did to the Israelites. Maybe not from a cloud of glory, but clearly from his word in Scripture. He speaks it in the Bible. As we read in our Hebrews passage this morning, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The same challenge and the same choice that lay before the Israelites is before each of us today. When we hear his voice, will you harden your heart? Or will you be one of those who believe and by faith is united with the ones who have received this promise? Psalm 95 warns us, don't make the mistake of that generation. Don't refuse to believe the promises of God. Don't exchange what God has promised for the false security of men. Instead, listen, hear, trust, obey. Attend to God's voice with your whole heart. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart.